Welcome to your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. We're glad you're here. Some of the more interesting stories in my life happen when I travel. Sometimes those stories happen on plane rides. It's amazing what can happen when 300 people are strapped into a hollow steel tube with wings. In today's episode, Nick and I talk about two experiences on my recent flights to and from California. Air travel is not as glamorous as it was in the 1970s and 80s, but it does provide for some funky stories. Check them out. I'm getting on a plane in LA, and I look over and I see Dana White from the UFC. You know who this guy is?
I do.
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't really know anything about Dana White other than I know that he's very famous. He's controversial, and I know that he has a big mouth.
Yeah.
And I know that he's launched a lot of very violent human beings into the world and supported a lot of great violence in front of the world. But so I look at him and we make eye contact, and he has this look on his face like that. Don't recognize me. Don't recognize me.
Oh, I just want to be.
I don't want people.
Anonymous.
Here. He looks at me and then he looks around the side, kind of like almost pleadingly, but not actually pleadingly. Just like looking, going, don't do this. Okay, here. And I wasn't going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because I don't care that much about the dude. But seeing that, I left him alone. But then when I'm getting on the plane, he's in first class. And I end up getting stuck right next to him where I'm looking at him and he makes eye contact with me again. So I'm like, how's your groove going, Dana? And I extend my knuckle and he knuckle bumps me and he goes, going all right. And I walk on by. And then when I sit down in my seat, I get on Facebook and I tell the story of seeing Dana White. And
sure.
Then knuckle bumping him and having him relax. And then me following up with a right hook and a left cross and a ground and pound until the flight attendant called him out in 10. And I walked away with the UFC championship.
And perfect.
Walking through.
You class, own the UFC now.
That's all I'm saying. I did that.
Because it's very famously, he has said that if anybody beats him in a plane, specifically, they automatically take ownership of the UFC.
So we're going to be doing some different things at the UFC now.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, your daily dose of UFC.
We're going to have, your idea. That's a great idea. I was just thinking, originally I got, you know, Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts involved. Because we haven't seen them fight yet. And I thought, get them in the octagon. But I'm talking about this, though. Tag teams in the octagon.
I like that. I like everything about it.
Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts tag team in the octagon.
With some maybe some Nerf guns and some stuff like that from the outside. Is that too gimmicky?
Nerf guns?
Sure.
I'm not saying actual guns, but maybe pellet guns or maybe you know, maces and swords and stuff.
I mean, really training them for a dystopian future that's around the corner.
I'm just saying Hunger Games, right? Hunger Games, where the only food is Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, wait. You don't like those? Wait, the ones. Don't give me that face. There has to be a Girl Scout cookie you like. That there's nobody who doesn't like at least one kind of Girl Scout cookie.
No, they're not that good.
Okay, wait. The ones, the little Samoans? We get the. No.
Thin Mints. Oh, put them in the freezer. Oh. And I'm a big fan of mint chocolate chip ice cream. That is my favorite ice cream.
Yeah, okay.
But Thin Mints are just like...
Yeah, I was never a Thin Mints guy.
Boring and dry.
I'll be honest
There's
with you.
There's some peanut butter sandwich ones.
I like those, yeah. I like the peanut
sandwich. They're dry. Yeah. They're dry.
Yeah, they're dry, but cookies are dry. That's what cookies
are.
Well,
I think that there's better cookies.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not saying they're the worst, but, you know, unless I'm starving during the Hunger Games...
You got to taste the cause. Is the thing, okay?
You taste the cause.
Yeah. It's like if you're buying Girl Scout cookies, you taste the cookie and the cause. It's like you get that aftertaste of, oh, I just did something good.
Can't they just make them better?
Well, how much do you need?
I mean, 20% better.
Okay. Maybe that's reasonable. Oh, man. Girl Scout cookies. I do that. I get guilted into that all the time.
Sure.
Oh, the other thing I have to tell you about this, getting on that same plane.
Oh.
When I got to my seat after passing Dana White.
Yep. Dana Carvey.
Dana White. Wait. No, that was on my flight there. That wasn't on the flight back. That's right. Those are two separate flights. Okay. That was on my flight home from Los Angeles. From Los Angeles to Orlando. On my flight from Orlando to Los Angeles, I'm in some kind of la-la land because I'm sitting there doing a crossword puzzle while they've called my group for this flight and they called... like four other groups. So I'm like getting concerned when I hear all these other groups being called, and I stand up and I say, Comfort Plus? And she looks at me and rolls her eyes, the flight attendant, and says, that was like five groups ago. Come on, get up here. So I get up there. Now I know that my bag, my giant bag that I've got, yeah, and she was rude, but I've grown to expect that, unfortunately, when I fly. And so I've got my big bag, and now I know it's going to have to be at my feet, because there's going to be no overhead space, because there's always inadequate overhead space.
Yeah.
So I'm walking and thinking, all right, I'm going to work that out. And I walk, and I get to my spot, and it's 12F. And I go 12, and I look over to the window, which is the F, and there is a tiny boy in my seat. And I look at the next seat next to him, and his mother is looking right into my eyes. Like she had been looking into my eyes while I was looking. Yeah. And she says to me, please don't make me move and be separated from my child. I'm like, what? Well, my first thought is, and this is horrible, I'm not sitting in the center seat. I said, well, where is your seat? And she says, it's about 15 rows back. And I said, is it a middle seat? And she looks and she goes, yes, it is. And I say, well, I'm not going to be doing a middle seat. So let's see what we can find, right? And so I say, is anyone here willing to offer their seat so that this family can stay together, an aisle or a window seat? And the guy right behind goes, I will. So I'm like, ah, you're a good man. Awesome. And so I said, you stay there, I'll sit here. And I sat in the aisle. The whole time I was feeling guilty. And this is the thing. I blame Delta Airlines. I blame the airline that I bought a seat that they allowed someone to sit there and told them, just ask the passenger when they arrive. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got this extortion of my heart and soul, because I'm not going to separate a mother and a child. Yep. Honestly, even if I have to sit in the middle seat. But that would have been a bad situation for me, because I'm a relatively big guy.
And on a, what was it, 5.5 hours?
Yeah, it's like 5-hour flight. Yeah. You know, so it worked out beautifully. And I thanked the guy who gave up his seat. And he was like, oh, it's not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. And I was happy for that. But I still felt like, I wanted to, the Bob in me wanted to just go, all right, just take that seat. I'll take your seat wherever it is.
Yeah.
But I felt this injustice of, why was I put in that situation?
Yeah, it used to be that Delta would, or airlines in general, would give you a little bribe. Would give you a little, oh, thank you for doing this. Here's a voucher.
Oh, no, they didn't even, they stepped out of the whole thing.
Oh, no. That's what they do now. Yeah. Hey, it's me. I'm Nick. Thanks for listening. I think it was Seinfeld who really ruined air travel by asking those very poignant and pointed questions about airline food and flight attendants and other things related to the industry. I think it caused them a lot of internal strife. I think it hurt their feelings. I think they felt put upon by his insights of humor, and they just gave up because of Seinfeld. What is the deal with that? Have a great day.